Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Academy Shalom on this 30th day of the 5th month. This is David Walther, and I have here with me Sarah Shalom, and we will be reviewing an article called The Sabbath More Fully, Lesson Number 8, Timing and Calculating the Holy Days. Calculating the Weekly Sabbath, Lunisolar, or 7th Day of the Week. Now, this article was sent to us over the web. This article comes from the website lightedway.org, and the author was Shauna Manfredin. Shauna says a lot of things about the lunar Sabbath in this article, and I will be addressing them one by one. Sarah will be reading the article, and I will be putting my comments in as they become necessary. Sarah, please proceed with the reading.
Okay. It seems such a simple question. How do you calculate the weekly Sabbaths? Yet, it is far from simple. Since the devil is working to divide and conquer among Sabbath-keeping, Torah-following believers, we should come to expect differing doctrines on all important subjects. The teaching of which day is the seventh-day Sabbath is no exception. In fact, there are two points of view regarding determining which day is the weekly Sabbath. Viewpoint 1. The weekly Sabbath is calculated from counting a seven-day cycle through the weekdays. Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, or Saturday, as it is currently called.
Well, I got to jump in there. What she's saying is that this method of counting to seven is to count according to the Roman week, and that it falls according to a particular day of that week. In other words, she still isn't used to the concept that there are other weeks out there. The Roman week is not the only week in existence.
Viewpoint 2. The weekly Sabbath is calculated from the lunar phases. Sabbath is a lunisolar, calculated by the phases of the moon, not Saturday. In this view, counting from the sighting of the new moon, the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th day of the lunar phases are the weekly Sabbaths.
Now, I think she meant to spell that as lunisolar. I don't think she intended to be insulting.
To begin, let us look at Genesis 2, 1 through 3, and Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Here, God gives us details and instructions about the weekly Sabbath. To determine which day is the Sabbath, we must submit both concepts, lunisolar Sabbath versus Saturday Sabbath, to the microscope of the Word. For the true weekly Sabbath will adhere to all the biblical teachings about the weekly Sabbath. For the purpose of this study, we will specifically look for Sabbath timing details, which are set apart in bold in the following verse and summarized in a list below. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. From these Bible passages, we find the following timing details. God created the first Sabbath on earth as a commemoration of the day he rested from his six-day work of creating the world. The first weekly Sabbath fell on the seventh day of the earth's first week. The weekly Sabbath follows 6 days of labor. The weekly Sabbath is also called the seventh-day Sabbath because it consistently falls on the seventh day of a repeating cycle.
So you see, we lunar Sabbatarians agree with all of those things. Every single one.
is the seventh day lunar? The Bible teaches that the holy days are to be calculated by the heavens. Consider Genesis 1:14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." The seventh-day Sabbath must consistently follow a seven-day cycle, but there isn't always a seven-day cycle between moon phases. Let us assume that the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th day of the lunar month are Sabbaths, as we verify whether or not these days would allow the Sabbath to always be a consistent count of 7 days. Sabbath, first quarter moon, 8th day, no matter which weekday this day falls on.
Again, she's assuming the week. She should say it, no matter which day the weekday falls on. No. Not which day of the week it falls on, because the Roman week floats around with regard to the Hebrew calendar, and the days of the Roman week do land on any day of the Roman month.
So, Sabbath, first quarter moon, 8th day, no matter which weekday this day falls on, 9th day, first day of the week, 10th day, 11th day, 12th day, 13th day, 14th day, 6th day of the week. Sabbath, full moon, 15th day of the lunar month, 16th day, first day of the week, 17th day, 18th day, 19th day, 20th day, 21st day, 6th day of the week. Sabbath, waning quarter moon, 22nd day of the lunar month, 23rd day, first day of the week, 24th day, 25th day, 26th day, 27th day, 28th day, 6th day of the week. Sabbath, conjunction, dark moon, 29th day of the lunar month. This week will not be 7 days because we must wait for the new moon sighting, first visible sliver, as the Hebrew term for new moon is Rosh Chodesh, translated as renewed moon.
Well, now, this is where she makes a mistake. Shauna doesn't get the fact, or she's not admitting the fact, that the week is only 7 days. Truth is, in the Bible, there's no such thing as a week. There is a period of 7 days. But the Roman concept of a week, which is never interrupted, is not in Scripture. She's assuming it because this is what we're all used to. This is what we've become accustomed to. But there's nothing in Scripture to say that this cycle is uninterrupted. In fact, this concept of a week, of the 6 days plus a Sabbath, as a unit of time, is not found in Scripture. In the parts of the world that use the week, every time you give the date, you'll notice everyone is careful to say Monday, April the 1st, Tuesday, April the 2nd. But there is nothing like this in Scripture. It is always the day of the month and the year. Well, now, why would that be? If the day of the week is important, this would be part of how the date is reckoned. It is, after all, a unit of time. Why would Scripture omit this? So Shauna is saying that this final week of the lunar month is 9 days in length. She's wrong. The 7 day cycle isn't touched. There are 2 days of new moon. But if you look at Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 1, you will see new moon days are not work days, and they're not Sabbaths. They were a different kind of day. And you do not count them in the cycle, in the count to the Sabbath. You count them as days. They are days. They're holy days. They're just not part of the week. And that can be a bit much to wrap your head around if you've grown up with this idea of a 7 day week, which goes back to creation. But there's no evidence for that. In fact, the farthest back it can be traced at all is about 1,000 years. Please continue, Sarah.
And then count out the days to the first quarter moon, or 8th day of the new lunar cycle. This final week of the lunar month is 9 days in length, as we will demonstrate on the following calendar for clarity. In the lunisolar construct, the last week of the lunar cycle is always longer than 7 days. This time discrepancy is accounted for with a gap theory, which accounts these days between the conjunction, dark of the moon, and the new moon sighting as dead days, or days which don't count. some of the lunisolar proponents have explained that this is a shadow picture of the Jubilee. While this sounds very plausible at the outset, this teaching is not scripturally sound for the following reasons.
Well, they better be good reasons, because it is a perfect picture of the Jubilee year coming after seven Sabbath years. And as far as a gap theory, the only gap is the one explained in Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 1, where it says that new moon is not a Sabbath day, nor is it a work day.
The Bible makes a point to call the Sabbath the seventh day time and again. Never once does it suggest that a Sabbath can have followed a nine-day week.
Again, she's putting in this concept of week, which is not biblical. The Bible doesn't talk about weeks.
The clear scriptural injunction for how to calculate Pentecost proves that the seventh-day Sabbath must always be a consistent count of 7 days.
Okay, now this, she's really wrong on this, but she's going to explain her position to you, and then I'm going to explain why she's wrong.
In Leviticus 23:15-16, we find the specific instructions for how Pentecost, also called the Feast of Weeks, is to be calculated. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. Thus Pentecost is to be calculated as being both 7 Sabbaths and 50 days. Now, if the lunisolar belief is scriptural, that the last Sabbath of the lunar cycle can be a part of a 9-day week, it should be possible to calculate only 7 Sabbaths for Pentecost and still have it to come out to 50 days.
No. See, now she is running off. Well, I'll let her finish. Hold on.
Let's see whether it is possible to get 7 Sabbaths and only 50 days with the lunisolar gap theory. At the end of each month, remember Pentecost is in the 3rd biblical month and is exactly 7 Sabbaths and 50 days from the first fruits. Falls during the week of unleavened bread. Additionally, the Bible indicates that Pentecost is always the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, Leviticus 23:16.
All right, now this is where she's really wrong. The wording of the commandment is that unto the morrow after the Sabbath you shall number 50 days. Now, lunar Sabbatarians are not stupid. We know that if you count 7 lunar Sabbaths, the day after the 7th Sabbath will not be 50 days. It'll probably be day 52 or 53, maybe even 54. We know this, and yet we still believe in lunar Sabbath. And it's not because we're dummies, and it's not because we're ignoring scripture. It's because there's a much better way to count the Pentecost, which agrees with the rest of scripture, including the fact that the Saturday Pentecost is too early for the wheat harvest. And yet Jesus said, are there not 4 months until the harvest? Another thing is the fact that Pentecost, when 3,000 were anointed with the Holy Spirit, is a parallel to when Moses came down the mountain with the stone tablets and 3,000 Israelites were killed for breaking the law. Remember, the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. Now, if you count out the days to when this event happened, and almost everyone agrees, Pentecost is a remembrance of the giving of the law. The Saturday Pentecost happens way too early, even for the delivery of the Ten Commandments at Sinai. But if you count 7 Sabbaths, lunar Sabbaths, and then you count 50 days on top of it, as the scripture says, that is, if you number unto the 7th Sabbath 50 days, you come to the exact, not plus or minus a day, you come to the exact day Moses came down the mountain. And suddenly you find there's this Jewish tradition which has been adopted by most Christian churches that Pentecost commemorates the bringing of the commandments down the mountain. Well, look it up in your Bibles, count the days, and see where it lands on the calendar. You'll find that's the only way it can work. with the lunar Sabbath.
Okay, first lunar week equals...
Okay, so she does some adding up to show that the day after the seventh Sabbath is day 52. But, you know, we already concede that. It doesn't affect the lunar Sabbath at all.
First lunar week, 7 days. Total days equals 7 minus Sabbath, 1. Second lunar week, 7 days minus total days equals 14. This lack of a consistent 7-day cycle is not the only issue to consider regarding the lunar Sabbath teaching. Consider the following additional biblical discrepancies.
And we're going to take a break right now. We follow a healing modality called RBTI, stands for Reims Biological Theory of Ionization. It's time for us to drink our lemon juice. So we're going to pause the recording right now, and we will be right back. And we're back. This is David and Sarah of Academy Shalom.
Discrepancy number one, the moon was created on the fourth day of the week of creation. If we want to understand weekly Sabbath keeping today, we must study the original model of Sabbath found in the week of creation. In so doing, we find that the first day of the week was not the first day of the first month.
That's true. That's true.
How so? Because a month is designated by the phases of the moon. But there wasn't a moon from which to designate on the first day of the first week. Genesis 1:14-19 says, "And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day." If the moon indicated the weekly Sabbath, it could not have been created on the fourth day. The seventh day Sabbath would then have to be called the third day.
Well, that's just bad reasoning. See, Shauna is assuming here that the month began with the day the moon was created. But there's no reason to believe that. Sure, the moon was created on the fourth day. But, you know, the creator would have created the moon in whichever phase of the moon or whichever relationship to the sun that he found convenient. And we are lunar Sabbatarians would argue that he created it, the moon exactly consistent with it being the fourth day, actually the fifth day of the month.
Discrepancy number two, Christ did not keep the Sabbath by the lunar phases. The general claim of lunar Sabbath adherence is that the lunar Sabbath understanding was discarded during the Babylonian captivity and was then replaced by the Sabbath of the day of Saturn.
Well, now see, right away, looks like she's got a whole section devoted to something most lunar Sabbatarians do not believe. Now, different lunar Sabbatarians have different levels of understanding. Some are better with history than others. We all have our strong points, and there's some that accepted it without studying too much, but very few believe that the lunar Sabbath was lost in Babylon. The Romans themselves kept a lunar calendar up until the time of Julius Caesar, as did the rest of the world. No, the lunar Sabbath was lost about 100 years after Christ's death. It was lost shortly after the Bar Kokhba Rebellion, when most Jews in the world were wiped out. And at that time, Babylon was under the rule of Rome. So really, the bulk, almost all Jews in the world, and particularly all the rabbinic authorities of the Jews, were under Roman control and rulership.
Discrepancy number three. The moon itself does not consistently adhere to the 1st, 8th, 15th, and 22nd, and 29th.
Sarah, was there some more to read there?
It's for the same argument.
It's the same argument, but did she have any more other details that were above and beyond that?
I have several more paragraphs. Do you want me to read all these?
Okay, so she's arguing that Yeshua kept the same Sabbath day holy as did the fellow Jews around him. We totally agree with that. Okay, now, but then she gets to another argument from the New Testament. She says, go ahead, read that paragraph.
Okay. If the lunisolar Sabbath is true, then the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th of the biblical month will always be Sabbaths. But this is not so. Yahushua made clay to heal a man's eyes on the weekly Sabbath. And on that occasion, the seventh day Sabbath fell on the 23rd day of the month, a complete impossibility to the lunar Sabbatarian beliefs.
Now, this is interesting. Shauna has managed to find the one place in the Bible where there is a Sabbath that doesn't fall on the lunar Sabbath. Or does it? Matthew Jansen looked into this, and actually I looked into it as well. Matthew Jansen found out something else. But that particular Sabbath did fall on the 22nd day of the month, but you will only realize that if you count according to the oldest manuscripts of the Bible. It's funny because there's one section of the New Testament which almost all scholars agree was added to the New Testament hundreds of years after it was written, and that is the story of the woman caught in adultery. This is the story where they brought the woman before Jesus and he wrote with his finger in the sand and they said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, that was added. And when you know that, when you skip over that portion, when you remove it, the count comes out perfect. And that Sabbath is also a 22nd day of the month Sabbath. So lunar Sabbath is actually backs up what scholars have to say about the authenticity of the New Testament.
John records that Yeshua stood up on the last day of the feast, the great day, and cried out to the crowd, "This last day, that great day, is the eighth day of the feast of the seventh month, and occurs on the 22nd day of Tishri, Leviticus 23:34-37. The next day, John 8:2, Jesus came again to the temple early in the morning. After his discourse with the scribes and Pharisees, he healed a man who was blind from birth. John recorded that it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. John 9:14. This evidence shows that the 23rd day of Tishri was the Sabbath that year.
Okay, I'm going to pause this. I'm going to go look that one up. We'll be back in just a moment. Okay, I just looked up John 8 and 2, and sure enough, that's the part where they had the interlude with the woman caught in adultery. You take that bit of scripture out that was added to the word, and it lines up perfectly. The Sabbath was indeed on the 22nd, not on the 23rd of Tishri. So moving on to discrepancy 3.
Discrepancy 3. The moon itself does not consistently adhere to the 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. It is possible to have a full moon on the 12th day rather than the 15th. In such a case, the seven-day cycle is lost between the 8th lunar day and the 15th lunar day, an example of a possible 12th day full moon, if the 28th dark moon conjunction occurs at 2 a.m., i.e. approximately 8 hours into the 28th day, and the 29th is a continued dark moon, and the 30th is a continued dark moon, then the first fresh crescent. It is also possible for the full moon to fall on the 16th day of the lunar month. An example of a possible 16th day full moon would be if the 30th dark moon conjunction occurs at 5:30 a.m., then the first fresh crescent seen at 7:30 p.m., 14 hours after dark moon conjunction.
Okay, so in this case, Shauna is making a mistake. Lunar Sabbatarians do not count by the phases of the moon.
Now, it's true, the full moon and the quarter moons line up with the Sabbath fairly closely, but what we do actually do is we start with the new moon, which is a holy day of rest, and we count from there. That's all we do. It's, yes, the phases generally line up, but Shauna is right. The phases don't exactly line up, nor do we use them for that. The Sabbath does not get lost. We just keep count. And this fits the exact same pattern of Pentecost. There is no sign in the heavens to let us know which are the Sabbath years, but there is a sign in the heaven to let us know the Jubilee year. So, to count the Sabbath years, we have to start with the Jubilee year and count Sabbath years until the next Jubilee year. If you lose the count, you have to wait until the next Jubilee year. And so it's the same with the month. They fit the exact same pattern.
Another issue that's coming up here is the sighting of the crescent. She's counting the new moon as if it starts with whenever the crescent is sighted, and that's how she comes up with a discrepancy of 3 days. Whereas we count the conjunction of the moon as the beginning of the month, so there will be no such discrepancy.
Yeah, that's the whole conjunction issue of when the month begins. But there's a lot of different methods of that. I've found one method works that brings the phases of the moon into line with the Sabbath the most often, in fact quite often, and that is the sunrise after conjunction. But that's not really relevant to lunar Sabbath particularly. So we'll discuss that in an upcoming show on the calendar in the heavens from the day up to the Jubilee year, A to Z. Please go on.
Discrepancy number 4. Worship on the lunar phases is actually an ancient pagan practice. One of the biggest reasons lunisolar proponents often give for believing weekly Sabbaths are determined by the moon phases is that the Gregorian calendar was created by Pope Gregory. The papal doctrines are the polluted wine of Babylon.
Well, actually, she's not going back far enough. The Gregorian calendar is just a very slightly tweaked version of the Julian calendar, which was brought in by Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar was not only the first emperor of Rome, he was worshipped by the Romans under the title of God the Father. His successor, Augustus Caesar, was known as God the Son. You might understand a bit better now why we have some objections to this calendar, especially when you understand that the use of this calendar really kicked in after in the time of the Emperor Hadrian. That Bar Kokhba rebellion weakened the Jews to a sufficient point that the Romans were able to ram it through.
And there is no question that Pope Gregory did indeed remove 10 dates from the calendar in 1582, 10 days. But does that mean that Pope Gregory somehow affected the Sabbath itself? No, the order of the week days didn't change one iota by simply redating the days. The first day, which the pagans have named Sunday, is still followed by the second day, Monday, and the third day, Tuesday, which was followed by the fourth day, Wednesday, followed by the fifth day, Thursday, followed by the sixth day, Friday, which was still followed by the same seventh day. See the calendar below for clarification of what Pope Gregory did to the calendar and why this change did not affect the weekly Sabbath count. The seventh day was the Sabbath before Pope Gregory removed 10 days, and it was still the Sabbath after he removed them. It is not following a papal calendar to honor the seventh day count, which started at creation, simply.
Well, here she's saying it started at creation. There's no evidence for this Saturday Sabbath going back more than 1,000 years. How can she say it goes back to creation? Where is the evidence?
Simply because a calendar change took place in 1582, which didn't even affect the seventh day Sabbath count. So it isn't pagan to keep the seventh day of the week. It really has nothing to do with Gregory. The Sabbath was before the changes throughout and continued after in an unbroken cycle of seven.
Yeah, most likely it did really came into force with Julius Caesar. Got a big push by the time of the Emperor Hadrian, and by the time of the Emperor Constantine, it was already an accomplished fact. 200 years had passed without modern technology. Those that knew the old ways had died out and died off.
But lunar phase worship is rooted in an ancient pagan practice. Worship on the lunar phases was anciently associated with worship of the moon god. Allah was the proper name of the moon deity of the Arabs before Muhammad brought his brand of religion to them. They worshipped hundreds of idols in a big black cube, the Kaaba, in Mecca. Today, they believe Allah resides inside this same black box, calling the Kaaba the house of Allah.
Remember, the Arabs were the descendants of Abraham as well. They started off with true worship, and just because they started worshipping idols and that worship was distorted, does not mean that all of their practices were bad, wicked, or evil.
This term, Allah, was adopted because of the name recognition among the common population. Because the previously pagan Arabs worshipped the moon deity they called Allah, you will often notice that the primary Islamic symbol is the crescent moon, placed above their places of worship in a similar way Christians use the cross. Lou White, Fossilized Customs.
Oh, she's quoting Lou White? Well, that's not exactly a reputable source.
The idol of the moon god pictured below shows the moon in its new sliver phase on the chest facing front. This is because in ancient Middle Eastern pagan practices, the moon phase dates were considered to be the sacred day of sin called Allah later.
Oh, okay, so here she acknowledges their Arab moon god was called Sin, not Allah. Truth is, I've taken Arabic lessons, I've taken Hebrew lessons. I know a bit of both languages, and I know people that know both languages fluently, and I have verified that Allah is how the Arabs pronounce the Hebrew word Elohim. Remember, the Arabs also come from Abraham, and the Arabic language is very close to Hebrew, just like the difference between Spanish and Portuguese. So, if he's going to run around saying that Allah is a pagan moon god, you know, he's barking up the wrong tree. He has no proof or evidence for that.
Discrepancy number 5. There are biblical exceptions proving that specific lunar phase dates aren't Sabbaths. In order for the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29 days of the lunar cycle to be weekly Sabbaths, it must be provable that they are Sabbaths every time without exceptions. Yet, there are two significant exceptions on which these days are clearly not Sabbaths. As was demonstrated above, the 23rd of Tishri, the seventh biblical month, was the seventh-day Sabbath when Yahushua healed the blind man's eyes, not the 22nd, as proposed by lunisolar adherents. Also, the 15th of Abib is never a seventh-day Sabbath, according to Scripture, as we will demonstrate below.
Well, this better be a good demonstration, because it definitely is a day of rest and no work. In fact, it's a high Sabbath.
The 15th day of the month Abib is also referred to as the first day of unleavened bread. Abib is the first month of the biblical year, which begins sometime in April on a calendar. Now, according to the lunisolar Sabbath theory, the 15th day of the lunar month is always the seventh-day Sabbath. But in the month Abib, the Bible makes it plain that the 15th is not a Sabbath. How so? Consider the statute stipulations for food preparation on the seventh-day Sabbath, compared with that of the statutes for food preparation on the 15th of Abib. The statutes are very clear about prohibiting all food preparation on the weekly Sabbaths. It was even against the Torah, Hebrew for instructions, also known as the Law of Yahweh, to kindle a cooking fire on the Sabbath day. All food preparation for the weekly Sabbath was to be completed on the sixth day, also known as the preparation day for the Sabbath. This is stated in the following scriptures. Exodus.
And we're going to take a break here. We will be right back after our RBTI break.
Exodus 16:22-23. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And he, Moses, said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow, is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today on the sixth day, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Exodus 35:2-3. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. But while it was plainly prohibited to cook upon the seventh day Sabbath, it was biblically acceptable to prepare food on the 15th of Abib, which is the first day of unleavened bread, also known as an annual Sabbath. This is stated in Exodus 12:15-16. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you.
So right there, she's assuming that that's work somehow, or that the 15th day is a commanded work day because they have to put leaven out of their house. Well, Jews do that on the day before. They do it on preparation day. So that makes sense to me. I mean, and if you have to cook unleavened bread, you can do that the day before too.
The seventh-day Sabbath is calculated differently than the annual Sabbaths. This distinction is given in Leviticus 23:1-4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel.
Well, now she just made a big whopper there. She's saying it's calculated differently and doesn't explain how. The scripture she's about to quote, Leviticus 23, actually is one of the big scriptures that shows how the Sabbath and the other feasts are calculated the same way. So this is just a pure reversal without any evidence.
Leviticus 23:1-4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. After listing the seventh-day Sabbath as the first of Yahweh's feasts, there is a break in the thought before the annual Sabbaths are listed. The Bible continues to say, These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons.
Actually, there's no break in the thought. The break is only in her mind. It talks about the Moedim, the appointed times of the Lord. It talks about the Sabbath, and it goes right on to talk about the holy days. They're all Moedim.
Then, when we turn to the psalm, we find that the moon was appointed for seasons, Psalm 104:19. Thus, the seventh-day Sabbath is not among the feasts of Yahweh, which are determined by the moon, just as was established at creation, when the moon was made on the fourth day, while the seventh-day Sabbath had come 3 days later, having started before the existence of any heavenly body. The Sabbath is a simple count of seven. It has continued unbroken from creation, and it is still the weekly Sabbath today.
Well, if you repeat something often enough, that doesn't make it true. She's repeated herself a bunch of times here.
That's basically the end of the article. She simply gives some links for more information.
All right, well, if you have any questions or comments, I'll be happy to answer them. If there's anything in this rebuttal that you disagree with, be polite. I'll be polite back. You can email me, david@academyshalom.ca, or you can phone me, 778-320-0644. This is David Walther and
Sarah.
Shalom.